Good morning. Boy, there were a lot of good things that we sang this morning, and in the confession of sin, really good stuff. The gospel just woven throughout the service this morning. I get discouraged often. I do know that you get this way. When you feel like, something comes up and your response is just awful, and you think, I thought I was a little further along in my growth as a believer than that. And it just gets really discouraging. This morning we're going to be talking about how in the world do we actually change? How does transformation happen? And just in a real practical way, what do you do to see the Spirit of God working and seeing some progress in our growth? Really important topic. And I would love for you, I'm going to share a little dirty laundry with you this morning. And it's not for the purpose of having you think I'm awful. I am. But as I give you a few details of an experience that just happened yesterday to me, here's what I'm hoping you'll do. I'm hoping it will bring up in your mind and heart an area or several areas perhaps in your life that you can look back through the years and say, I just continue to struggle with this particular thing in my life. And maybe even people here that maybe they don't even know about it. But it's just, the Puritans called it besetting sin. It's just the stuff that doesn't seem to go away. And maybe you've been a Christian for a few years, maybe you've been a Christian for a few decades, but the discouragement comes in just not seeing any change in this particular area, whatever that might be for you. So I just want to invite the Spirit of God to be moving in you and exposing in you something I'm trusting will just come right to mind. Not about your spouse, if you have one, but about you. So that if you dwell on it enough, it can be really discouraging and really begs the question, really stimulates the question, how in the world can I see some progress and change in this fundamental flaw that just I keep falling into? Sound fun? Yeah, well, the cool thing is our sin, our struggle with sin, doesn't define us. We are a new creation. And sometimes when our sin comes up, it seems to be in real conflict with being new creatures. And it is. There's what the Spirit wants, and there's what our flesh wants. And their desires just hit head on. Well, here's what was happening. Yesterday, one of my favorite things to do on Saturday is to have a project to work on. And yesterday, my project was I was putting a new radiator in my 99 Toyota Avalon. It was leaking, and I needed a new one. I'd ordered all the stuff, and I thought, this is going to be fun. And it took me quite a bit of the day. Things always come up that you're not expecting, and but I worked hard, and when I get under the car, I've got to always get in positions that my back is arguing with me that we don't want to do this. And anyway, the day went great. I finished the job and no leaks, and everything was functioning really well. And starting to clean up, you know, put the cardboard away that I lay on and throw stuff away. And out in the garage comes Vicky, my wife, and she was helping me clean up. How cool is that? I was surprised by it. I mean, not that she doesn't help me, but usually when I'm on a project like this, that it's kind of not her realm. Well, she was out to help me, and she took one of the tool bags I used and put it back. And I was just methodically putting stuff away. And then the big box that the radiator came in was, you know, like this and about this wide. And she picked it up, and she was opening the blue recycle bin and starting to put that in there. Had you already put it in, maybe? Yeah, I think she'd already put it in there. And I was watching her do that, and I just I said, you know, you can't put that in there like that. It takes up the entire thing. I'm kind of the trash guy in the house. And we're not going to have any space for anything the rest of the week. I was scolding my beloved for trying to help me and for what a foolish, crazy, stupid idea to put this box uncrushed in the recycle bin. And she felt my, you know, I don't know that the words I said sounded awful, but just, you know, when there's a tone in your voice and it's just spewing judgment and condemnation, and it was awful. And her facial expression, she was just deeply hurt. It's like, I'm wanting to help. I know you're tired, and I'm helping here, and now I'm receiving my husband's judgment and condemnation just dripping. Isn't that awful? That is just wickedness at some of its deepest level. There's nothing sweet and understandable about that. It's just one of the things, I think one of the songs, maybe the first or second one we sang, talk about God knowing what was in our heart and loving us anyway. And how can that be? How can he do that? I hope to bring this incident up again, but the whole point is, it's so discouraging to see, how could I treat the person I love more than anybody else in the world with such disgust when she's trying to help? Well, has God brought up anything for you? That's what I'm praying for right now. Something you're pretty disgusted with, and it just seems hopeless. You know, you've tried, but it just keeps happening. Well, our friend David, King David, oh my goodness, he was so good at effectively preaching the truth to himself to see change in his life. And I love it because he had lots of things to change. He was a big sinner, and he had a big, big Savior. He was in my book, the top repenter of the universe. I think that's why he was said to be a man after God's own heart. Not that he didn't sin hardly at all, big time sinner, but boy, once he was aware of the problem, he just turned away from it and ran to his Savior. And we're going to learn from him this morning. I think this is real nuts and bolts. How do I live today? What do I do when I get so discouraged and hopeless? Are you with me on this? We just desperately need help. Well, let's run to Psalm 103. It just blows me away. David, obviously, didn't know a lot of specifics about the coming Messiah, but he really got it as to how does change come about in our life. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we kind of know that, but what's that mean? What's that look like? Well, David got it. And our Psalm 103 is just going to give us tools to do that on when things come up, like came up between Vicki and me. Okay, let's look at Psalm 103. And, I didn't read that, did I? Well, I'll read it now. I'm reading out of the NIV. It's a little bit different than the ESV that's in your bulletin, but piece of cake, real close. You'll recognize it. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. A little bit different, not greatly so. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, saying the same thing. Praise the Lord in capital letters, meaning the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, the great I am, the self-existent one, the one who is in control of all things. Soul, praise him. Now, tell me, why do you think David's talking to himself? He's talking to his soul. The second line there, all that is within me. NIV says all my inmost being. He's kind of defining soul. Everything that's in me, praise God. Why would David say that? Unless his soul didn't feel like praising God. Unless his mind was bothered by other things, and he's realizing that, and so he's got this self-talk going on. He's preaching the truth to himself. Soul, praise the Lord, the self-existent, almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Praise him. Why aren't you praising him? Why don't you want to praise him? He's telling himself, he's preaching the gospel to himself. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Now, ask you a question. Are there ever any times that you just don't feel like praising God? That's a really stupid question, isn't it? Of course, most of the time, David was like us. And we, by the way, have the Spirit of God dwelling in us all the time. And yet, there's something about our flesh, something about our sinful nature, we just often don't feel like praising him. After I scolded Vicki, and by the way, as she's doing something that I think needs to be done better, that's an interesting thing. Almost as if I'm like God, and what I think is best is best. You relate to that at all? I'm the high and mighty one. And my way of doing things is, of course, absolutely right. Ugh. ugliness, ugliness at its worst. At that moment, when I saw the hurt on her face, did my soul feel like praising God? Well, I just felt like crawling in the hole and being discouraged and turning in on myself. David struggled. He struggled with depression. There's all kinds of little signs. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so troubled within me? He's telling himself, David, soul, praise the Lord. Everything that's within me, praise his holy name. He's talking to himself. Who better to preach the gospel to you than you? You're always with you. You're always with you, and you understand your own language. Isn't that great? You're always there for yourself. Preach it to yourself. It's a sign of maturity, not immaturity. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Praise his holy name. Then he says it again. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Real interesting. Why doesn't he say, remember all his benefits? Why do you suppose he doesn't put it that way? Could it be that David is really aware that his typical way of operating is to forget? That comes really easily for him, like falling off of a log. And he's preaching it to himself. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He was very aware that he's constantly forgetting the benefit of knowing the God of heaven and earth. How about you? It only happens to me daily. I can arrive at the end of the day and look back, and it's as if there is no God. That day, I've been a functional atheist. I've known that everything depends on me, and I've got good company. I bet you've experienced that too. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He's preaching this to himself. Don't forget his benefits. What benefit did I need to remember yesterday when I just condemned this act of kindness from Vicky? One benefit, I am loved and not judged. So is my beloved. Oh, Lord, make me that way. Another benefit. He who knows my heart, he who formed my inmost being, he loves me. He sees everything. This isn't a shock to him. He sees it. He died on the cross for it. He actually loves me and forgives me. That's not just a wonderful sounding piece of theology. It's rubber meets the road. This is what I need to know right now so that I don't go and hide and turn in on myself and beat myself up. That was a benefit I need to remember. Well, David says, praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Now he's going to recall his benefits. Here we go. Who forgives, he's talking, the Lord forgives all your sins. All whose sins? Well, remember, he's talking to his soul. He's saying, soul, the Lord forgives all your sins. Here's what that means. David understood, I'm convinced of this, that my sin of condemning Vicki by my tone, by what I said, that's awful. But there's something really more serious. Do we have some engineers in the room? We've got. Okay. Engineers do root cause analysis. Yes? You got a problem, you try to figure out what's really the cause. Why did I judge and condemn my beloved? What's going on? Well, what's going on in my heart that would cause me to do that? My heart seems to be saying, you are in control of the universe. You are the Almighty God. And what you want and the way you do things, it's the law. And we're going to use the law to condemn this little lady for her act of kindness. The condemnation, awful. But what's even worse is the junk going on, coming out of my heart, and it's, could we call it self-worship? Call it a lot of things. That is kind of the root cause of why those words came out. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives, soul, all your sins. I've categorized my sins, and I think this might be helpful for you. The sins of my soul. One I call self-centeredness. I know you can't relate to this, but I'm going to tell you about it. Somebody has posted a picture on Facebook of a group of people, and you're in that picture, and it comes up as you're looking at news in Facebook, and you see that picture and you enlarge it, and let's take a guess. As you look at the picture, you know you're in it. Who do you think you check out first? You're not wondering if your friend Sarah or Jim looks good in it. You're concerned how you look in it. If you look good in it, oh, that's a good picture. You don't care if everybody else looks really creepy. If you look good, it's good. It's good. I dare you to look at a group picture and seriously not look at yourself first. I've tried it, and even as I'm trying not to, out of the corner of my eye, I know where I am. I'm just really interested in me. One of the core sins of my soul, of our souls, are self-centeredness. We want to be the star in the movie. It's just there. I could go on and on, but perhaps I don't need to. Maybe you know that's an issue. Self-centeredness. Here's another good one. Self-sufficiency. I don't need God. I don't need God. Would you believe, even in my desire to become more godly, to grow in my walk with Christ, to become more spiritual, would you believe that so much of the time I try to do that my own way? Can you imagine that? It's like, God, I can handle this. I can handle this growth thing. Here's what I'm going to do. And it's going to make me more mature. And I'll tell you, Lord, when I reach that spot of almost sickeningly spirituality, and it is sickening, if I brought it about and it's all me, can you imagine even trying to become godly and spiritual just out of yourself? You ever try that? That's how messed up I am. One of the sins of my soul, in addition to self-centeredness, is this self-sufficiency that says I can handle it. It seems like the only time I turn to God is once I'm convinced I can't handle it. And it seems like as the years go on here in my life, maturity is starting to look like I see more and more and more frequently how little I can really handle. And that drives me to Jesus. And that doesn't feel very good. Oh, thank you for pointing out that I can't handle this. There's just nothing good about that. But it's the very thing that leads me to Jesus more and more and more. Self-sufficiency. Okay, an awful thing. And finally, self-worship. I'm right, you're wrong, therefore I can shift the blame to you. That's why I win all the arguments I'm in, because I'm right and you're wrong. We don't even need to talk about it. Self-worship. So, David, I think David would agree with me that those core sins of the soul, out of those, everything else comes. What we speak, the tone of our voice, the frown on our face, everything is coming out of our inmost being, out of the darkness of our heart. And those core elements, I think, pretty well wrap it up. Are we having fun yet? You know, remember, folks, remember, this is awful stuff, but it's not the final word. You know, we can even smile. Even as you're feeling bad about it, even as I feel awful, you know, I'm here staring at the love of my life, and I treated her like dirt at the end of the day yesterday. But I can talk about it because it's not the final word. We've got a Savior, Jesus, the Christ, who's put all that stuff away and died on the cross. And he rose up from the dead. Not even death has a hold on him. So our identity is in him. And oh my gosh, is there a lot of dirt still in us? Oh yes. But you know, we've got a little bit more to talk about, but I'm just saying, let's enjoy the ride, okay? You don't have to look so serious, because this is not the final word for us in Christ. Okay, I love this next part. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. This is David talking to the soul. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you, the ESV says, with steadfast love. That's a great translation. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. My translation says with love and compassion. The pit undoubtedly is talking about him redeeming us from death. Ultimate death, and there are so many things that lead to death. Let me tell you about one of my biggies, depression. Struggle with crazy, like crazy with depression. I have a real strong tendency toward depression, and the Lord is just keeps helping me to get out of it quickly. But what I love to do with this verse, and I think it's a fair application, it's not all that the verse means, but it's at least some of it. David is saying, soul, he redeems your life from the pit, from destruction, from the pit of depression. Depression's an awful thing, and I focus on myself, and it just leads to destruction. It's death. He redeemed, so here's how I hear his words. He redeems your life from the pit of depression. He pulls you out of that. He restores your life, and I love this, and crowns you with love and compassion, with steadfast love and mercy. If you were here for the elder son fiasco, you know, he received the robe and the sandals and the ring on his finger. Well, this passage talks about a crown. And when at a coronation service, when the king or queen is crowned, they are being identified. They're in this role. They are royalty. They have this authority. It's an amazing thing. When I'm in the depths of depression, guess how good I am at loving people around me. Much as I can figure out, when you're in the depths of depression, everything's curved in on myself. Just the opposite of love, of being other-centered. I'm completely unable to love. I'm completely wrapped up in me. He redeems my life from the pit of depression and crowns me and identifies me with steadfast love and mercy. He can take a depressed guy that it just feels like I'm dead, and he can take me and set me on the solid rock of Jesus the Christ, and he can make my identification. He can establish me so that I become a hallmark of my life is steadfast love and mercy. Isn't that great? From the pit to being a lover of people and merciful to others. Only God could do that. David is preaching the gospel to himself. Soul, you know, he redeems your life from the pit of destruction. And he transforms you so that you're identified with love and compassion. I want more of that. I want to taste more of that. David wanted more of that. He's reminding himself of the business God is in of transforming even him, even me, even you, day to day. Well, let's move on to the final verse that we're covering here. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Soul, who satisfies your desires with good things. ESV says, gives you good. He's saying, soul, the Lord gives you good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The King James talks about he satisfies your mouth with good things. The idea is the Lord gives us good to satisfy us, satisfy our appetite. You know, being human, I think, means having an appetite for, I want to be cared for and loved. I want to belong to something. I want to be a part of something bigger than me. I want to be accepted. I want to make a difference in the world. I don't think there's a human being on the planet that wouldn't say they desire those fundamental things. David says, Lord, you satisfy my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I don't quite know what that means. How is the Eagles' youth renewed? I don't know. And there's lots of commentators have some interesting take on that. But I think at least, I think David's saying this much. Lord, as you satisfy my desire to be loved, to be cared for, to be secure, to belong, to be accepted, to make a difference in the world, as you meet those beautiful appetites of mine, I'm renewed inside. I'm like, it's like though my physical body is wasting away and corrupting, I'm being renewed inside day by day. Paul said something a lot like that. David, I think, is saying a parallel thing, that my youth will be renewed like the eagles, that my soul, the youth of my soul, internally, all that's within me, will have a vibrancy and a vitality, a youthfulness, because God is meeting the human needs that I have. Does that make sense? David wants us to know this secret of being transformed from some of the darkness in our heart. We know one day when he returns and brings with him the new heavens and new earth, all things will be made new. All things will be made new. Everything will be made right. And no more struggles, no more tears. Can you imagine looking at everybody and not wondering how you measure up compared to them? Can you imagine looking at everybody and not having a judgmental thought about them and just thoroughly, from the depth of your heart, caring about them? What a day. What a day that will be. That day isn't today. And in the meantime, God has given us this means to be transformed more and more and more like him. How do we do it? How do we do it? We've got to preach the gospel to ourselves, just like David did. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, soul, who heals all your diseases. I skipped that part. David understood not only the sin in my soul does he forgive, but he's in the process of healing it. He sees it as a disease, and God is healing it so that one day, it will be right. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you. Crowning you. Can you imagine? Here, I crown David. Oh my gosh, I remember. I crown you with love and compassion. God wants to do that to each of you. I'm not going to go around to each of you. I'm sorry. But he crowns you with love, steadfast love and mercy, so that you're identified more and more and more in your relationships with others. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your inmost being will be renewed and youthful, even in old age, especially in old age. Don't you want more of that? Don't you want more of it? I do. I do. I think, in a strange sort of way, when that awful interaction with Vicky happened yesterday, I thought, no, God didn't create this for a sermon illustration. I asked Vicky about talking about this, by the way. But he created it to remind me again how desperately I need transforming. And David's given us some great tools to do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are really something. We're just not nearly as spiritual as we think we are. And we're way more needy than we usually think we are. But Lord, you understand that. And even this morning, I pray, there may be a handful of folks here that just are, it's been hard for them to hear the good news because they're dwelling on this ugliness and darkness. Even today, Lord, would you redeem their life from the pit and help them to preach the good news of your crowning them with love and compassion. Even right now, during the rest of the service, even as we participate in your table and we take you in by faith, would you renew us and transform us and help us to remember the great benefits of knowing you. It's in the name of Jesus and in his authority that we pray. Amen.